Kyle Maloney. He's the editor of the new Mirror's newsletter. Kyle, how are you?
Great. How you doing, Tony?
I'm doing very well. I know that you write for City Pulse here in Lansing from time to time. What's your take? Should they close? Do you think they need to close another high school in Lansing? And how do you choose which one to close?
Geez, you know, that's a tough one. You know, it really does become a dollars and cents issue because, you know, the state is giving less money for these school districts. Right now they are anyway. And, you know, the school districts are forced to make a decision about consolidation, especially the urban districts, because with schools of choice, parents are taking their kids out of these schools. They've got different opportunities to go to charters or go to neighboring schools where they feel like the system is a little better. And, you know, with shrinking dollars, you got to consider with these old buildings, do you really have to keep them open? You know, there's an attachment to it, certainly an emotional attachment to both Eastern and Sexton, but, you know, the administrators there have to make the books balanced, and so a tough decision will probably have to be made there.
MIRSnews.com is the place where you find the newsletter. I love the quote of the day. Today it says, "We've stopped dying, but we're not dancing yet." That comes from House Appropriations Committee Chair Chuck Moss after the Revenue Estimating Conference, which showed the state's revenue growing, but not by much.
No, and that's exactly right. You know, there has been an expectation that we've already hit bottom in 2009 with the economy and the state budget, and that the economy would start to creep back up a little bit, and that's exactly what we saw last Friday when the state's economists got together and determined that revenue will be coming in a little better than expected. So that will probably mean a budget that that will not include a lot of cuts, if any cuts, for 2013. And it also sets up a situation where general fund money could be used to be put into the school aid fund, which could mean more money for schools. And, you know, I've talked on this show, I think, before, Tony, that it would be in the Republicans' best interest to do so. You know, they had to make a lot of unpopular decisions last year. And one way to get back into the good graces of voters is if they actually put more money into education. That seems to be a hot-button issue with most voters. They want to see their schools funded, and this would be an opportunity for the Republican leaders to do that.
Right, and you've got two factions. You've got one faction saying, hey, we got a little extra cash, let's put it in the rainy day fund. And then, as I've heard Senator Gretchen Whitmer say, it's raining, it's pouring, let's put that money back into schools.
Right, and I see kind of a mixed solution there too, Tony. I mean, I think that we are going to see some money put into the rainy day fund. I think we're going to see a little put toward unfunded liability, which saves the state money down the road. So kind of some good book management decisions there by the leaders. But, you know, there's a political implication too. You know, there's been cuts that have been made for about 10 years now, and you know, there's a lot of people out there making good arguments why their services need to be funded. There's some good public health issues out there right now. You know, if you put more money into public health in the front end, you save more money down the line, you know, with you not having to pay, you know, emergency room costs and those types of things. So there's a lot of good arguments made by a lot of people. And, you know, lawmakers are going to have to justify why they're going to spend the money that they are going to spend in the manner that they're spending them.
Governor Rick Snyder's second annual State of the State address is tomorrow night, 7 o'clock in the House chamber at the Michigan Capitol. Just wanting to get your take on what we might hear. Paul Egan from the Detroit Free Press writes that the governor will focus on customer services. I've heard the governor say that on this program, that he wants that to be a focus. Karen Bofford with the Detroit News says that the governor will focus on crime and poverty. What do you think?
Well, when I talked to the governor late last year, he said that 2012 will really be a year where he focuses on his administration. And that does fall in line with kind of the customer service angle of things that he talked about with Paul Egan there. You know, this first year, the 2011, he had the legislators' ear, and so he pushed through a very aggressive legislative agenda. There are several items out there that are outstanding from his special messages that he still wants the lawmakers to do. But he also realizes the political realities of an election year, and so he isn't going to get what he got out of them in 2011. So he is going to be focusing a lot on his own bureaucracy and what he can do to try and make state government more customer friendly to businesses, to people, more responsive, and maybe even find more ways to cut costs, consolidate. I mean, Governor Granholm did a lot of that in her 8 years in office, but I expect to see more from Governor Snyder on Wednesday.
Kyle, in the newsletter, there you write about there is no clear leader at the Tea Party debate. Each of the five U.S. Senate candidates at the Tea Party debate at CMU wooed audiences on different issues. Talk about that story.
Yeah, absolutely. Debbie Stabenow is up for re-election this year, and so the Republicans are trying to find a nominee to run against her. The clear establishment favorite right now is former Congressman Pete Hoekstra, who ran for governor in 2010. But Tea Party leaders don't necessarily think he's conservative enough. In Congress, he did end up voting for some spending packages that they don't agree with. He's also worked with organized labor before on some issues, and so they think there's a more conservative candidate out there. Well, there are more conservative candidates. The problem is trying to coalesce behind one of them. Clark Durant is from Detroit. He was the former head of the Michigan Board of Education. He established Cornerstone Schools, some charter schools down there. And he's got a very good resume. He's also, just a good candidate that folks are looking at to be that conservative alternative. But if you want to get conservative, I mean, I can't really think of anyone more conservative than Gary Glenn, who is the head of the American Families Association here in Michigan. You know, but there's questions about his electability in a general election. I mean, could he draw over enough moderates to really make it worth their while? You know, so you have that question out there. And then there's some other Tea Party folks out there as well, Randy Heckman from Grand Rapids being one of them. But, you know, the question there is that they just haven't gotten the money and the support that they would need to run an election against Debbie Stabenow, who's clipping away at about $1 million per fundraising cycle. I mean, that's just so hard to compete with. So there's the reality of wanting to get your ideal candidate, and then, you know, there's also just the reality of, God, who could really be electable? And so the Tea Party is really struggling with that question right now. And I think they thought that this debate that they held up at Central Michigan on Saturday was going to help answer those questions, but I don't really think they did. In the end, you know, we'll have to see if the Tea Party really does coalesce behind a Clark Durant or a Gary Glenn, or if they just remain splintered and Pete Hoekstra just rides into the nomination, which is what most pundits expect.
Michigan's oldest and most comprehensive newsletter covering the activities of Michigan and state government. That's MIRSnews.com. Thanks, Kyle.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Tony.